So before the message this morning, I will be reading from Hebrews 10, verses 8 through 25. At the beginning here where it says, first he said, this is speaking of Jesus Christ as the person who is saying this. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them. Though they were offered in accordance with the law. Then he said, Jesus said, here am I. I have come to do your will. He set aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, the sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been made forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Blessing, Steve, as you minister.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Would you join me in a prayer before I begin? God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would bless and anoint these words. May the Word of God strengthen us, inspire us, and just give us a desire to move further and further into the strong ties of covenant between us and you, O God, and between each other and between us and this world. So just ask that you would continue to bless this service for your glory. Amen. Gonna have April come and join me for a moment. Just to give you a visual image of covenant. And, so we're gonna work together here to be bound. Yeah, maybe we should. Okay. All right. So, covenant, a good way to understand covenant is to think about two parties being bound together. And clearly it's being bound together in a good sense. There's ways that in a negative sense we can be bound. But, just that whole idea of being bound together is a good way and hopefully a lasting image for you to think about how we make covenant and God makes covenant with us. So think of this beyond, you know, clearly April and I are bound together in marriage, but beyond that, may this be an image of the covenants that we make with others. So I want to just give three definitions that I found about the word covenant
and then just kind of pull together a couple key words from that. One, I read that a covenant's an agreement or a mutual obligation that's deliberate and solemn. It's deliberately made and it's solemn. And I had to think about the word solemn. To me, solemn sounds glum. But solemn means serious, you know. Like, let's stop joking around for a minute. Let's be serious about these commitments that we're making. So they're deliberate and they're solemn. Secondly, a covenant's a bond between people with strong feelings of friendship, of love, of commitment, of shared beliefs, of shared experiences that unite them together. And then the third one I found is a covenant is a binding promise. We're bound. It's a binding promise of far-reaching importance and significance. And so out of all that, I want to pull out three key ideas. One is a covenant is a strong bond. It's not easily broken. It's something that we seriously and strongly bring together. Secondly, it's personal. There's a lot of agreements that we might sign that aren't personal. But a covenant, it's from the heart. It's a personal thing. And then thirdly, it's of far-reaching importance or significance. Just thinking about Mim Eberle, you know her a lot better than I do, but I know that the covenant she made with God and with you as a church, with her world, had far-reaching consequences. You know, I'm sure many of you could give testimony of how she's had very significant influence on your life, and that influence at least stretches to Belize and maybe farther, as well as the strong bond that she had with God. And so covenants are strong. They're made with strong bonds. They are personal. They're from the heart, and they have far-reaching consequences. So just consider that as we keep going forward here this morning. Think about Peter when Jesus says to his disciples, are you guys going to leave me? As well as along with these other people. Peter says, where else would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, I'm sticking with you. We're bound together. I'm with you through this all. When Naomi said to Ruth, you know, Ruth, you don't need to follow me back to my home. Ruth says, wherever you go, I'm going. Wherever you stay, I'm going to stay. You know, the bonds being bound together in covenant. So we're going to read quote the words to a song, to a hymn. Maybe you're familiar with it. It's called I Bind My Heart This Tide, or I Bind My Heart This Day. And just hear how this is a really personal testimony of how this author is talking about being bound to God and to others. So hear these words. I bind my heart this tide, or this day, to the Galilean's side, to the wounds of Calvary, and to the Christ who died for me.
I bind my soul this day to the neighbor far away, and the stranger near at hand, in this town and in this land.
I bind my heart in thrall. I wanted to define thrall to you, because it was a word I needed to look up. Thrall means to be in the power of somebody. And it can be a positive, like I'm enthralled by that person, or I'm in awe of God, and God has this power over me in a positive sense where I'm drawn to him. So I bind my heart in thrall to the God, the Lord of all, to the Christ, the poor one's friend, and the Spirit he did send.
I bind my heart, myself to peace, to make strife and envy cease. God knit secure the cord of my thraldom to my Lord.
Amen. And so just like we can make covenants, unfortunately, we can be a people who breaks covenants. And we're going to untie. And as April walks away, just kind of consider that, how people can walk away from their covenant with God. Or it's the story of Scripture where God is faithful in making these promises, but often we read about how people have walked away from that covenant April didn't want that to be the lasting image of her this morning of walking away from a covenant. But, so picture her up here, bound together with me.
So if you happen to watch the Bible Project video that I put a link to early this week in our devotionals, what they described about covenant is the covenants God makes include promise and commitment. God makes promises, and then we respond by committing back to God. Promises and commitments. And all throughout Scripture, God is making these covenants, as Anna alluded to, just quoting some things from the Old Testament. "Now, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession out of all the nations, for the whole earth is mine. And unto me you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I will walk among you, I will be your God, and you will be my people." And then God, even as he's making these promises and these commitments and these covenants with his people, he also, God confirms them with often poetic language, like in Jeremiah 31. God says, "The one who appoints the sun to shine during the day and who commands that the moon and the stars should shine at night, who stirs up the seas so that the waves roar, only when all of that stops, when the heavenly lights go dim, when the oceans stop roaring, that's when I'm no longer going to keep my covenant with my people." In other words, never, never will God's creation just implode. He also says, "Only if the heavens above can be measured, and only if the depths or the foundations of the earth can be searched out, only at that time will I reject my covenants." In other words, nobody's ever going to be able to measure all of, you know, the galaxies, and no one's ever going to be able to get to the depths of the earth and measure that out. So if that would ever happen, that's when I would stop following my covenant promises. In other words, never. God's a God who keeps his covenants. And then he makes this permanent and everlasting covenant, especially and finally through Jesus, who says this is the new covenant that God's making with all of you, and it's sealed by my blood. And so, just going back to the scripture from Hebrews 10 that Chris read for us, after it's described how Jesus becomes the one who finally creates this covenant that we can keep, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, let's hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we have." You know, in other words, let's, as God has made covenant with us, let's make covenant with each other, that we would help each other to be faithful to this covenant that God's made. And let's be faithful to one another. Let's think of ways that we can motivate one another towards love and towards good works. Let's not neglect meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let's continually encourage one another, especially now that we see the day of his return is approaching. So, thinking of us now with that same strength of conviction that we see in God and that we hear the writer of Hebrews calling the church to, let's this morning, as we sign the covenant, let's commit ourselves to being bound together as a covenant community, one with another. As our covenant says, we do this because we're responding to God's love and because the Holy Spirit is empowering us to do that. As difficult as it may be sometimes to be committed together, the Spirit is our strength. So let's build one another up. And may each one of us be able to give this testimony that my faith is stronger because I'm part of this fellowship. My hope is more sure because I'm part of this group of people. My convictions about the Lord are clearer because of the people that surround me. My witness is truer because of those around me who are building me up, and we're building each other up. As a people, let's practice, as the scriptures say, patience one with another. Let's forgive each other. Let's restore one another when we fall. Let's be bound together in unity of relationship. Paul says to the Philippians, and let's take these words for ourselves, make my joy complete by being like-minded. Have the same love, be of one spirit and one mind. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to the interests of the others. And as well as being bound together in relationship and building each other up, let's also be bound together as we're partners in ministry, because we're on a mission together. And when God made this covenant with Abraham, he said, I'm going to bless your people, your family. It's going to be a great family, a great nation. But the purpose is that then they would bless the whole world. And it's not just that I can give you special treatment, but I'm blessing you so that you will bless the nations. And we see that happening and ultimately in Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, who blesses the whole world. In the same way, let's be those diodes, you know, that together we shine brightly for the world to see. We don't keep it to ourselves. This week, I guess, Claire, he reminded us about the questionnaire, and there's a question in there about being part of small groups. And if you consider that, remember that a small group, the whole intention of a smaller subset of the church is to be this place where we can really work out our covenant commitments in a lot more personal fashion than in this large room. But that as we gather in smaller settings, whatever that looks like, we're figuring out how to follow Jesus together through our sharing and our supporting of each other and praying for each other about what's really going on in life. We're building each other up in those small settings. And it can even be a place where we're binding ourselves or connecting ourselves to the world around us as we might invite them into our smaller groupings. And so finally, I just want to talk about, as our covenant does, that we not only bind ourselves to God and to each other in this covenant community, but we bind ourselves to our neighbors beyond the church. The opposite of binding ourselves to our neighbors would be like out of sight, out of mind. You know, we're unaware of what's going on around us. We don't develop relationships, and so we can't bind ourselves or bless those beyond our church. And I just want to give the example of the Safi family. It's maybe we can understand right now. Like if we knew they were a family from Afghanistan who immigrated to Lancaster, they were in our community, we might financially give some support to this family. We might gather some clothes for this family that we heard about that moved in. But because we're in this partnership and because we're actually getting to know them and get involved in their lives, we much more clearly have an understanding of how we can support them as they make this transition. And there's a lot more specific ways that we found to be able to come alongside them and support them. And hopefully it goes beyond just that we're getting to know them so we can help them. But we're getting to know them so that they can be our friends, you know, and we can live in that kind of friendship of relationship. And in whatever way we can influence one another. And so as we bind ourselves to our neighbors much more in a much more detailed way, we can be their friends, we can be of support to one another, and we can create these opportunities where we can share the hope that we found in Jesus. We can shine the light of Christ, whether we invite them here to join us and they experience the light of Christ, or we create settings of community out there somehow with others to be a witness for Jesus. So So this morning we have this opportunity to say, I want to reaffirm this commitment, that I'm reaffirming this fact that I'm binding myself to God above through Jesus, and I'm binding myself to my fellow church members, and I'm binding myself to my neighbors around us. You'll notice as you come up to sign that along the four sides of the frame, what do you call the mat? Thank you, Neil. You'll notice four statements: love God, follow Jesus, love one another, and love our neighbors. Just a reminder of the ways that we're binding ourselves to others as we make this commitment and covenant. And so I'd like to just close this time by having us be able to share our covenant statement. Let's reaffirm our covenant together. As members of God's covenant family, known as Whitmer Heights Mennonite Church, we believe that God's mercy, grace, and love in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection offer us new life in Christ. God invites us to acknowledge Jesus as Savior and Lord, to share God's love with others through word and deed, and to follow the teachings of Jesus in our daily lives. Left. Therefore, in response to God's love, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we commit ourselves to love one another as Christ loved us,
to be kind and compassionate, encourage and build up, comfort and offer hospitality to one another. We will help the sick, the refugee, and those on the margins. We will be invitational, welcoming all who want to worship with us. We will confess our sins to one another, forgive one another as the Lord forgives us, and gently restore whatever is sin.
The right?
Keeping Jesus as the center of our faith, we strive to have a spirit of unity based on our common bond in Christ. We agree to meet together regularly and use the Baptist reading of the Scriptures and our God-given knowledge to figure out together how to follow Jesus in our daily lives. We maintain the 1995 Confession of Faith as our teaching position to instruct and guide our life in Christ, even as we acknowledge that we are in the theologically diverse group of followers of Jesus.
All, we desire to have friendship with one another and to retreat with one another on a regular basis.
We encourage healthy relationships wherein we address conflict in a restorative manner. We strive to make our community and world a better place, to know our neighbors, and to invite them into our community. In all things, we strive to be filled with the Holy Spirit, bringing glory to God.
I'd like to have a prayer for our congregation as we begin to draw the service to a close. So would you join me in prayer? God, again, we thank you for the covenant of love, of life that you offer to us through our Lord Jesus. We pray the Holy Spirit strengthening as we make covenant one with another. We ask, Lord, that you give us strength and compassion, your amazing compassion this week as we mourn the loss of Mim, our sister. We pray for her family as well and all those who are touched by her amazing love and wisdom. Lord, we ask your blessing on the service on Saturday. May it be a meaningful remembrance of her life. We want to continue to pray your blessing upon Jim and Phyllis Oswald. We pray for Steve Stoltzfus and his family as they mourn the loss of a brother-in-law. We pray, Lord, for the worship team as they meet this week to begin to make plans for Lent and our worship services in general. We pray for the Grow team as they take our feedback and continue to lead and develop ministry here in our midst.
Thank you, God, that you are so faithful to us. We pray for anyone in our midst who is dealing with physical illness right now, anyone who's just really overwhelmed with life, we pray, Lord, that your peace would be spoken into their hearts and lives. Lord, as we live our lives this week, may we turn our eyes towards you and consider things above and not just earthly things. We pray your rich blessings upon this congregation and the world around us. Pray for the Safi family as they continue to get integrated into school and try to find work. And just allow us to be of help as we can. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.